Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you can find some means of having an income from your family home, as well as it being your family home, then I think that's sort of justification for having so much money in your family home.
This is Property Invest Story, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we continue the conversation with property investor and director at the School of Renovating, Bernadette Jansen. She'll discuss what she did to secure $100,000 a year for her retirement and the project she's undergoing in partnership with her children that is controversially smashing avocados. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Firstly, what was holding Jansen back from initially investing into property?
The main thing that I had to get over was getting comfortable with debt, because when you are building your wealth through property, you have to get comfortable with it. And like, I don't ever really take it lightly, but I certainly see it as a tool now and not as something to fear. And I think that's an important adjustment to make. Particularly, you know, a lot of people in my generation, tend to be the same, and you do need to really manage that if you want to build wealth and you want to do it in a fairly timely way.
When conditioning her mindset and getting help throughout her journey, she enlisted the aid of a coach.
I actually have a personal coach, a performance coach who's probably been the main, my main support in that process. Working on limiting beliefs. So, you know, my thinking around money. Because, you know, most of us take our mindset around money from our families. I was in a family where my father was mentally not that well and was very concerned, had what I call a depression mentality. And so I'd form views around money that weren't overly helpful or productive. So by working on breaking down those beliefs and creating new ones that were more empowering, I was able to transform that form of thinking.
In terms of resources, her favourite property-related book is a classic written by Napoleon Hill, which she recommends to listeners as a powerful source of information that is still relevant now.
My favourite book is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's a bit of a cliche, but I think it, given that it was written in, I think, 1937, it holds some incredibly powerful concepts. That's probably the one that I found has been most impactful on what I've been trying to achieve. I think it's around, like he talks about having that burning desire. So I think around being really present to what it is you want in your life And for me, my burning desire hasn't actually always been about me. Like, obviously, I want great things for myself, but it's really around the people that I'm close to that I want to know, you know, things like our children. Not that I want to give them everything, but, and yeah, it's about being able to give them, you know, the sort of life that we want. And in particular, like over recent years, my mum has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so being able to keep her, to pay for care and to keep her in her own home for as long as possible has been a really burning sort of motivation for my success.
And the best advice she has ever received?
Don't sell. I think that's probably the best advice.
On finding out that she didn't have enough to comfortably retire on, Jansen developed a strategy that would allow her to accumulate the wealth she needed to feel secure.
So basically, I decided that we would not rely on super for retirement, that we would generate our retirement income independently of super, and so that was sort of the cream. And I looked at what we would need to live on if we didn't have, well, we don't have a mortgage, but if we didn't have the cost that we have with children and whatever. And I figured out that we probably needed around about $100,000 a year. And so I looked at what we would need in property to be able to generate $100,000 a year, because I thought if you do it in property, then rent stays abreast with CPI. And so that's just how I worked it out. So so buying enough property to be able to generate at least $100,000 per year. And so that's the first thing I did. Did that, got it sorted out. So the development, I'm actually at the moment looking at affordable accommodation, which I'm finding quite interesting. So I'm thinking that I'm probably going to implement that on that particular site because it's incredibly cash flow positive and it also meets the need in the community. So, yeah. So that's what I did. So I got that sorted out first and then started playing.
To achieve a goal of hitting $100,000 a year, she started out by purchasing a property in Redfern, which is now an unencumbered property.
Because we purchased that to downsize into, it is unencumbered and it has the capacity, because it's dual occupancy, it has the capacity to produce, if we rent it on the long-term market, it produces around about $600 to $700 a week. And if we rent it on the short-term market, it's about $1,000 a week.
In addition to this property, Jansen has a development project on the cards, which will generate even more passive income to stabilise her portfolio.
On the figures I've got at the moment, I've had it for quite a while, but that will be probably around about $100,000 cash flow positive.
This demonstrates that although many property investors believe they need 10, 20 or 50 properties to create real wealth, you can hold two great properties in your portfolio and do well.
Well, it depends on the properties you buy, of course. But, yeah, so basically, like, the other thing that really I think is really valuable is most people have a lot of money stitched up in their family home, you know, and so as do we. However, if you can find some means of having an income from your family home as well as it being your family home, then I think that's sort of justification for having so much money in your family home. So, and so that when I went to look for something, I looked for something that would have that potential. Whether or not we use it or not is another thing, but it's got that potential that if we need that in order to support our lifestyle, we've got it.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Jansen's strategy that she's implemented with success in terms of renovations.
And when you're doing DIY, you don't factor in the work you do yourself. So in reality, that makes them unprofitable.
How to assemble a team of trustworthy tradies within a week?
I have actually put together a team in a week. It is possible. You just got to follow a process, and particularly in terms of due diligence with the trade.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. To develop her current simplistic strategy for success, Jansen's methods have come a long way from flipping properties and making a profit. But for those who are interested in renovation, what has been her strategy to ensure they produce a great profit?
One of the things that I didn't do in the early days that I now do is that I don't buy a property unless it's stacked up to renovate it, paying trade. Okay, so that's the first thing. So I've got a feasibility process that I go through to make sure that there's enough money in the deal to be able to pay trades to do the project and make a profit. So, you know, that's when you're thinking like a builder, you don't think about those things. And when you're doing DIY, you don't factor in the work you do yourself. So in reality, that makes them unprofitable. So I have to be much more strategic about the property I buy so that it does have that. Sometimes that means going up into a higher price bracket. Like I experimented and bought a tiny little studio in Surry Hills, which was only 28 square metres, just to see how small I could go and still make a profit. And I did, like I made $22,000 off a three-week reno, but I really felt it was way too much work. But now I look at around about $900,000. You know, we work on roughly 10%. So if we buy a property worth $900,000, we're looking at around $90,000 to $100,000 profit. I think that it's worth the effort to do that.
This draws similarities to development, where generally the bigger the numbers, the greater the profits.
I actually think around the million mark, well, particularly in Sydney, is the sweet spot. We are finding some deals in Queensland that are in a lower price point with better profit margins, like things like splitters. But, you know, when you're talking about Sydney, Melbourne, I think around the million mark. And, of course, it's not every property worth $1 million. Like, you have to research your area to make sure, you know, to find the gap in the market that you're going to meet. And for us at the moment, it's professional couples, gay couples and downsizers. So you've got to make sure that you're filling a gap in the market.
In targeting this type of market, Jansen looks for potential in properties such as a big living area and a more inviting aspect with entertainment areas.
A lot of it's about the type of property you buy. So if I'm renovating for a downsizer market, I want to have decent sized living areas because downsizers have big furniture, some of which they can't part with. So the first thing is the living area going to be big enough? Okay. So, and it even comes down to your styling. If your stylist fills the room with furniture and makes the living room small, it's going to, you know, create a buyer objection for your market. So really creating a decent living area. So in terms of laundry, you can get away with a European laundry. Yet if you're renovating for a family, particularly in a suburban area, European laundry may not cut it. So you can sometimes get away with not having a bath, right, rather than go for more of a luxurious type bathroom, have double showers and double basins if possible. What else can I think of? Having outdoor entertainment areas, so really playing that up so it's really inviting. Bells and whistles, things like putting a wine fridge in the island bench, having an entertainer kitchen, maybe putting an island bench in the kitchen so people can sort of entertain around that. Yeah, that sort of thing.
When undertaking renovations, she believes who you work with is really important.
If I can outsource something, I will. Like, I tend not to try and do everything myself. So to the point where now I even use buyer's agents, whereas once upon a time I would never have done that. In terms of your finance, if you're renovating to sell, it really doesn't work with the mortgage broker structure, which is a shame because I think a good mortgage broker is like gold. In terms of your team in the renovation, obviously the having a team of trades that you can work with over and over again, it makes it easy. There's no doubt about that. But you can put a team together quite quickly. I think people get quite daunted about the idea of not having this trade team that they, not having that sort of really established trade team. But I have actually put together a team in a week. It is possible. You just got to follow a process, and particularly in terms of due diligence with the trades. But of course, we do have trades that we use over and over again, and that makes it very easy because we're used to working together. You know, it makes it very easy. They anticipate your needs because they know the types of renos you do, all that sort of thing.
So how does she determine who the best people are when establishing a solid, trustworthy team?
So we have a really specific due diligence process in terms of the reference checks that we do, license check, insurance, certificates of currency. But we also do, I always make sure that I do reference checks actually on the trades work and the people that they work with. One of the ways you can get good trades is if you notice trades that are working in your area, I take photos of their utes to get their contact details. You can actually then go and get an unsolicited reference from the person they're working for. You're not relying on the people they tell you to go to. I would ask things like, how reliable are they? Do they turn up on time? I'd want to look at their work, particularly tilers, painters, renderers, to check the quality of their work. I'd be asking how hot they are on variations, like do they give and take, or, the minute you sneeze, you get a variation, those sort of things.
As well as working with individual trades, Jansen also works with a builder when necessary.
A lot of the smaller projects that we do, we don't really need a builder to manage the project. We'll need a builder for some elements of it. If we need to get, a construction certificate or council approval, we will need to have a builder to do that. But we tend to work with trades as well. So we'll have a builder to do the stuff that the builder has to do, and then we'll have a trade. The finishing trade, we'll manage ourselves. That's a cost-saving measure.
Now, at the School of Renovation, Jansen is working on a few entrepreneurial strategies that allow all types of investors to take on projects, from the time poor to even children.
One of the things that we've been doing a lot of recently is joint ventures. So what we find is that when people come to us, they will either be someone that's quite asset rich but doesn't have the ability to get a loan. So they may have a line of credit and have some money they can access to actually do a project. Or we will have someone that's working full time, can get a loan but are quite time poor. And so one of the things that we've found really beneficial is actually pairing them up and to actually do a project together, so that often the time poor person that's working full time can do some of the sort of offside administration and whatever to contribute to the project, and then the person that's asset rich but has plenty of time is able to run the project. And we're finding that is a really powerful strategy, because it doesn't matter what you do, you need to have a deposit to get started on something. And if someone doesn't have a deposit, then that's a good way of getting to work and getting a deposit to go off and then buy a property. And so, I was talking about doing projects with our children. We call it the avocado smash strategy. And that's really basically what we're doing with them. They have serviceability because they have a dog. We put in the cash from a line of credit, do the project together and walk away so rather than us taking money out of our pocket to give to them to go and buy a house, that we're actually doing it together. So it teaches them entrepreneurial skills and it's just good fun.
She admits that the risk of pairing up joint venture partners who don't work well together is a possibility. To avoid this situation, the process is monitored from the inception of the partnership.
I've come across lots of people who have been in horrible joint venture situations. And I think, and as a result of that, when we help people to put together a joint venture, we actually do it in our mentoring program. So I'm able to monitor that process and make sure that that it is done in a way that manages the risk responsibly and so that they have the best opportunity for a good outcome.
A personal habit which has affected Jansen's day-to-day life and helped her achieve wealth and success has been persistence.
The personal habit that I think has been the most powerful has been just being relentless. Like, in terms of finding properties and securing them, I think being prepared to go further than others do.
For the next 5 years, she is now focusing on how she can help others achieve amazing results through property investing.
What am I really excited about? I'm really excited about the number of results I can produce for the people I work with. I've already got what I want. I'm really excited about what's happening in our community. So we've got lots of exciting projects. I've got a student in Victoria at the moment currently buying a yoga retreat. So, you know, it's combining her property journey with her business journey. I've got three sisters that are doing joint ventures together. They've sold their business and this is their new life. I've just got lots of exciting things happening.
For those who would like to become involved with the program at the School of Renovating or just to connect with Jansen, you can do so via Facebook or her website.
So the best way to connect with us is to either come over to our Facebook page, which is the School of Renovating, or come to our website, which is www.schoolofrenovating.com. And you can also get in contact with me just by sending me an email at Bernadette@theschoolofrenovating.com. But please know I'm not that hot on email, so I will get a response. It may not be immediately.
Thank you to Bernadette Jansen, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about her journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Bernadette Jansen and select that episode to learn more about her story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.